I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast where we ask the most important sporting question of all. I'm Carney.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Dusha. Sean, don't ask the fucking question. It's dog shit.
Yeah.
How Good's Footy? Fuck you.
How Good's Footy, sad theme? You have the floor.
Thank you.
Appropriate.
So for the second time in 3 years, the How Good's Footy boys have suffered a toast trinity in
play
the first
again.
Week of finals. Yep.
Play it again.
Yep.
Thank you.
I don't know what else to say.
I think that sums it up beautifully.
Just play it on loop for however long this needs to go for.
Yeah. How do we can we play it underneath the whole episode? Just
the episode's over, Tom.
It's true.
Where can people find us?
In a hole.
So, yeah, if
that we dug.
There was four games this weekend. Our teams obviously played in three of the four. And we all lost. None of them were valiant defeats. None of them were defeats where you look at it, you're like, oh, fuck, it was close. It was like, yep, we got outplayed and lost pretty spectacularly.
Yeah. And in the fourth game, our visiting football professor, Gemma, her team lost, so it's just as bad as it could possibly be.
At least that game was close. Like, at least they had a crack.
That makes it worse.
I mean, well, I don't know. Ask the guy whose team didn't kick a goal after halftime if that makes it worse.
Well, Tom, there's two of us whose teams only kicked four goals for the game.
Yeah, it's true. It's bad.
Mm.
It's a dog shit. I think actually we kicked five.
Oh, okay. I apologize then.
You don't need to.
We kicked four goals in the game, and three of them were in a row.
Yeah, we kicked five goals, including no goals in the third quarter, which that's how you win premierships, boys. You just do not score in the so-called premiership quarter.
I don't know how many we kicked. Charlie kicked five.
Yeah. Anyway, let's just go through these fucking games. Give me a sec. Yeah. You start talking about it. I'm listening. I've got a cat stuck in my room. I've got to open my door, but carry it. This is the type of shenanigans and chaos that's happening this week. Friday night.
There's a cat in this room as well.
Yeah, that's good. She's double asleep. Cats.
She's keeping me from going crazy.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's no cats currently in the prelims. So Friday night, Geelong take on Port Adelaide. What happened?
My brother was very happy. He sent me a message in the lead up to this game where I think I look at that message and I think about it and I think about family and how it's important. And while footy is forever and football is life, I think he needed the win more than I did because he didn't sleep the night before. He didn't eat most much food for the day because he was too stressed.
So what you're saying, Tom, is that Geelong lost because you valued Tom's nap time.
Well, I slept because I sleep. That's what I do. I
slept like a baby.
I had nightmares.
Confidently.
I had nightmares.
The sleep of an arrogant man.
I don't know why. I don't know why I slept easy. We're rolling into the first week of the finals. And traditionally, looking at the stats and the history, we have won, I think, two first rounds of finals since Chris Scott took over. One of them was, of course, in our premiership winning year in 2011. Mm. And the other one was where Isaac Smith missed a goal after the siren, which is less of a win. More of a dodged a bullet.
And one out of the last... seven out of the last eight have been your lowest scores of the season, I think?
Yep. So every year we post our lowest score of the season in the first round of the finals.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good stat to have.
Since the grand final, 6 wins and 14 losses in finals.
It's crazy.
I'm not mocking you. Brisbane's recent finals times, we're 1-4, and we all know how long it's been for Dusha. So maybe this show's just a pack of losers.
No, because here's the thing. Look, if this podcast was recorded Friday night or Saturday morning, I would have agreed with you, Sean. But then I thought to myself, no, we got bundled out by Port in similar fashion last year, our lowest score, couldn't get our shit together. And then we came out and we fucking murdered Collingwood. And then we won another game that I won't speak about. And we made it to a grand final. All right? So we've done it. We've been there. We've had lost the qualifying final, come out in the semi-final and played out of our skins. So I still believe. I'm bullish, I believe. But it would have just been nice if just once in the first week of the finals we didn't play our worst game of the year. That would have been just so nice.
Yeah.
And what it really highlighted was, the worst part of it was watching a gun All-Australian intercept marker roam halfback when our gun All-Australian intercept marker was not available to roam halfback. That just felt like an extra dagger. But this is why I'm conflicted. My brother is very happy.
Yeah.
My nephew is very happy. And Alira is very happy. And I feel like I can't hate that man because he's the happiest, best man in Port Adelaide.
All-Australian Alira.
The AAAA. That's, you know, he's quadruple A. And
fucking hell.
You know, that's a there's lot power A's. In that. Positives, Mitch Dunga came back, played really well. Jack Henry played really well. End. That end.
Port Adelaide had a lot of standout players. Alira obviously tore it up. Aratio Fantasia played in his first winning final ever, and what a winning final it was.
However, he hurt his knee late. Now, whether it's precautionary or not.
It was precautionary. That's, you know, it's fine.
I think he'll be fine.
Yeah. If they lost and he didn't have a week off next week, I would be worried for him, but I think he'll be fine. Because they also wanted to get, like, just match minutes into him because he'd been out for a while. And I think that, that happened. I think this was a very tactical medical sub.
Yeah, it did feel like that, which is a bit cheeky from old Ken, because I don't think that's in the interest of what the medical sub is for.
Finals.
To compound it, Mark O'Connor, my favourite boy, did a hamstring. So the guy who was filling in for Zach Tui and Tom Stewart injured himself
early.
So that was good. Yeah, pretty early. Hey, Sean, an injury to a key player filling the role of a player who is injured really sucks, doesn't it, early in a game?
It kills you, doesn't it, Tom? It
really fucks you, yeah. It's why I was surprised Higgins was our sub. I feel like this is going to sound ridiculous, but I feel like Zach Guthrie is the better sub choice because he can play wing or defense and you can push a few others up onto the ball. Like an Atkins, maybe.
Yeah,
Higgins is a midfielder or forward. I just think you need someone who can play a bit more, especially when we're already wounded down back. You might have grabbed another.
That's why Duncan went down there, I guess.
I guess.
And Tom, how do you feel about Dangerfield confirmed that he was playing with a hand injury?
Well, I thought he had a hand injury because there was a video that they put up of him. During the week, he was just talking about, like, at the club before they went to South Australia, and his hand was all bandaged up. And I'm like, what the fuck is that about? No one has mentioned that. No one said he had a stomach bug, apparently. But I guess what's happened is he's broken the hand in the round 23 game.
Yep.
Geelong have said, we're not going to mention that he's broken his hand because then people are going to do a Stephen Baker and punch his hand or go for the hand. But obviously, it's since come out because everyone saw that his fingers were taped together. That he fractured his hand in round 23. So that makes me feel really good too. I love that.
Yeah, I am very concerned about Geelong next week. Not because I don't think you will win. I think you'll put GWS away pretty comfortably. But I think that GWS, out of all of the teams in the finals for you to play when you're a little bit battered and you have a key forward who hasn't quite fired a shot and is also injury prone playing against his own club and this club potentially... Dirty's not the right word, but thuggish probably is.
That's the right word. Shane Mumford's going to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like Dangerfield's hand is absolutely going to get targeted now.
Mm.
So you might win the semi, but you're going to roll into the prelim pretty wounded, I imagine.
Yeah, that's the worry. But, you know, maybe he hurts his hand. We get so far enough in front that he hurts his hand and he gets medically subbed off.
Yeah.
That's the dream, Tom.
I'm sad. My brother's happy.
Yeah. Port look fucking dangerous. Like, they, out of most of the teams in finals at the moment, they've rolled in probably the best form they've been in all season.
Nine in a row.
Yeah.
Makes me sick.
They are going to get very close, I think. Very, very close.
Got to win a prelim against some...
They are prelim chokers, so we'll see.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you balance that out. They have Michael Voss in the coaching staff, so, I mean, fuck.
He's obviously and
Alir.
And Alir.
The power of Vossi and Alir.
Fuck.
Anyway, Saturday afternoon, this was the only upset of the round, where a team that people thought may have been, like, quite a smoky for a flag got eliminated in the first, well, in the elimination final, where Sydney got taken down by GWS.
I wouldn't call this an upset. Just because of who Sydney were missing in the middle, I think.
Yeah.
It sort of evened it back out a bit. So it wasn't shocked, but then you would have watched this game and been shocked that Sydney lost because they kicked
2-7 in the last quarter to 1 behind and lost by a point.
Yeah, that last missed goal from Buddy, that is his bread and butter. It was on the right side for him, mm-hmm. and it curled back, but he started like that is when he marked it. I'm like, oh, they're going to win here because he'll nail that goal. And the Giants could not buy a goal in that last half. They were down two players, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Giants are going to be fucked next week as well because they've lost both Greens probably. Mumford was dead by halfway through the game.
And Isaac Cumming is possibly out as well, which is a big loss.
Yeah, they're fucked. They just had to resort to violence.
They were missing heaps when they beat Geelong last time.
But they weren't missing Toby Green, who kicked 4.
True. They're fucked.
Yeah.
But
they were missing 8 players last time.
They are fucked, but so is every muscle in your team's body, Tom.
Yeah.
It's true. Especially the heart muscle.
Where is the game?
Perth.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Did you see the post-match interview with Horse?
No.
No.
I only heard the tiniest bit of it on the radio today, and I think it was the first question. I'm not even sure who the reporter was. I don't think it was Tom Brown, but it sounded someone very chipper. And the first question after Horse's team lost by 1 point was like something like, how did you enjoy the Tasmanian football experience? What can you tell us about that? And Horse was just like, no, we just lost by 1 point. Next question. And then this guy asked a question again. And I think the guy thought that there were, because it's a Zoom thing. I think he thought that there was like a internet issue or something. And he asked the same fucking question. And Horse was just like, can we talk about football? Just moved on.
That's the team you ask. That's the question you ask Leon Cameron. You don't ask Horse that one.
Yeah, especially not first question.
Yeah.
Fuck it, hell.
Like, surely the opening question for that is, it must be disappointing, but are you proud of how this young team have got to themselves? Like, that's the question you open with.
Yeah.
You know, blow smoke up his ass a little bit, so he opens up, so he's disappointed, but he's got hope for the future. Because that's the thing for Sydney. They were missing a lot, and those younger kids who played really well, they're only going to be better next year.
Yeah. They were, like, very lucky it was in Zoom and not in person, because he would have bashed him.
Oh, that is the dumbest question of all time.
Yeah, I love it.
They also did something and look, I know that he's still a controversial figure, and I know that in the past he has been loathed, but Sydney also in the first half did something that football journalist Kane Corns said they needed to be really careful of.
Yeah.
I think before you finish the story of Kane Corns, I think the listeners need an update. I think the listeners need to hear about the messages that were flying back and forth over this weekend regarding AFL firebrand journalist Kane Volcano Corns.
So, much like how, and this is a crazy comparison, but much like how Matthew Lloyd took a little bit to settle into his role on the Sunday Footy Show, and therefore, as a result, the other footy shows he ended up featuring on, where his insight to the game and just his personal brand, I guess, took a little bit to just like settle in. He stopped trying to be whatever he was trying to be and just found his own groove. Kane Corns in 2021 has revealed that he has a heart and also has really kind of cemented himself in like what he goes after. And because he throws things out with such vitriol, but then if you question them, he doesn't like walk away from the opinions. He's just like, yeah, I guess. I mean, I still feel the way I just said I felt, but if you disagree, that's fine. I've come to respect him.
Sean, what about you?
Well, look, Tom, you were there, mate. You were in the chat where it just so happened that three footy professors all at the same time just happened to admit that they don't hate Kane Corns anymore. In fact, kind of love him.
Hey.
And that's big.
That's huge.
I know a lot of you listening right now are going to be disgusted. You're probably throwing up.
Yeah.
If anyone's driving while listening to this, they may have ran off the road.
Yeah.
Look, he's got hot takes.
Yeah.
But like Joel said, he backs them up. I actually respect Kane Corns. I don't hate him anymore. In fact, I apologize. I apologize for saying shit about him.
Yeah.
I think he's good at what he does.
He seems to have gone through a process where he was just throwing out hot takes, and now he's sort of got to a point where he's realized, right, that's pointless. So when he says a hot take, he says it, people react, he goes, yes, but this is why I believe that hot take.
Yeah.
And he seems to have, his hot takes seem to have evidence behind them. Whereas previously when he'd fire off dumb tweets about stuff, he didn't have that.
Yeah.
Now, it seems like he's matured, he's gone away, he's had a think. He's a,
you know what it is?
He's a good bloke, I think.
When he started in the media, I thought he was doing these enormous hot takes to get a foothold in the media, in that position.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you watch him now and you go, he's just always been who he is. So he'll say something, but we're used to seeing a really outlandish comment told in like a blokey laughing sort of way, whereas Kane Corns just says it and stands by it because it's what he believes. And sometimes we're not always going to agree with him.
Yeah.
But more and more I'm finding I often am.
Yeah, well, this is going to tie Well, also something that's like really fucked for Kane Corns is that he has a kid who is 14 and autoimmune compromised. Mm-hmm. So obviously the last 2 years would have been fucking scary as hell for Kane and his family. Mm. But posted a really nice tweet about it the other day about how the vaccine rate's going up. His kid's been approved for the COVID vaccine, and he encourages everyone out there not to get vaccinated for themselves, but to think about people like his kid who are in the community and could be fucked up by COVID. Yeah, so don't necessarily get vaccinated for yourself, get vaccinated for your loved ones in the community. And I was like, fucking hell, Kane.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's the other, was it Sam Taylor or Isaac Cumming? I can't remember which one it was one of the GWS Giants was interviewed for like a footy record segment. And one of the things they said he'd be doing postseason was getting vaccinated. I'm like, good on you. That's what we need.
Yeah.
So we shared the Kano story around in our chat and then sort of all at once sort of realized that we do not hate this man.
No.
He may be this country's finest football journalist one day.
But yeah, last week, Kane Corns was like, all right, against Gold Coast, Sydney just fed the ball to Franklin just to pump up his goals and whatever. But I really hope they don't try and do it in finals because they'll get punished for it. And then in the first half, which is where in theory, I guess they lost the game because that's when Giants were all over them. That's what they were doing. They were just trying to pick Buddy out and it was not quite going to plan. He kicked a couple. I mean, it's Buddy fucking Franklin. He's going to kick goals. Yeah. But, like, I think if they had shed it around the forward line a little bit more.
Well, the case in point was when they started getting back into it was when Isaac Heaney put the team on his back and went, let's fucking go, team.
Also, I've mentioned Kane Corns positively and then spoken about how Sydney have made a bad coaching decision. Or not a coaching decision, but a bad team decision. So Gemma, if you're listening, I am turning my DMs on Twitter off. I am not brave enough to front up to whatever rebuttal you have to my statement there. And I fully admit that whatever you're saying is right and I'm wrong. But Sydney cooked this. This Big was time. Their game to win and they fucked it.
Yeah.
Well, GWS are 3-0 over Sydney in finals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. Like
starting to get you'd be a bit of a hoodoo over the clash now. Also, it's fucked that they have played each other that many times in finals already when West Coast and Freo have done it once. Or no, yeah. Never. Never.
Yeah, Brisbane and Gold Coast.
Well, never. Has there been a showdown final?
Yes, one. It was a semi-final.
That's... So, again, they've had one, and the Battle of the Bridge has happened three times in finals.
Yes. Mm. Fucked
that
up.
Says, I think that says more about Sydney's ability to be in the finals as GWS are on the rise.
Yeah, well, also...
I would say that it says that both teams, characteristically in the last 10 years, have been pretty good.
Yeah. Also, as disappointing as this is for Sydney, the way their team is building, they're going to be having a crack for like the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Well, they went from 15th or 14th to 6th.
Huge.
Yeah.
1 point away from or 2 points away, really, from a semi-final.
They could do it next year. Maybe just trade Buddy Franklin.
They are starting.
They might have to because the salary cap's fucking cooked up.
What if he hits the 1,000 in like round 2 and then they just rest him and he never plays for the rest? He retires.
Well, they're talking about signing him on for 2023.
Yeah, have you heard that though? In terms of using that as a strategy to spread out the contract?
No, I just saw that was something they might be considering.
Because I've read that. They're not allowed to do that. So basically, I think they're committed to whatever his final year was, which is something crazy. Like
it was a back-ended deal, wasn't it?
I think it was heavily back-ended. I'm not sure on the specifics. But I know that there's players like Luke Parker who are out of contract who are going to get big offers. And Sydney are kind of like, whew, how are we going to pay for this?
Well, I saw a hot take from, I don't know which journalist, I refuse to look at who it was, but a hot take saying that if they were building Sydney's list, Luke Parker is more replaceable than some of the other players who are out of contract.
David King.
Oh, well, in that case, I take it with the largest grain of salt of all time.
It wasn't Kano, so we don't trust it.
Yeah, don't trust that hot take. That's a David King special hot take where he'll have a new one on in 3 days' time that contradicts his first one.
Dawson's also out of contract, I think. But
well, Dawson's the one I'd sign up.
There was an early draft pick as well who I don't think has played at all yet or much.
Dylan Stevens?
Possibly, yeah. And may get... I don't know. This is all media chat. Just players might get squeezed out and
While we're talking media chat, because Essendon are no longer in the finals, it's already started to happen to us again. Apparently, we're trading Dylan Sheil. With 4 years still left on his contract.
For what reason exactly, Joel?
It's just too expensive and our team's too good. I'm shrugging. Like
you locked away Merritt and you locked away Parrish this year and you locked away McGrath.
Yeah.
And Stringer.
Yeah.
Salary cap's not an issue at Essendon.
No.
But we got to get him out. He's too expensive.
Well, I think the take on that is more that where does he actually fit in the midfield?
Well,
now?
I think what's going to happen now is, where does he fit? Which means they'll probably just spend the offseason trying to figure out, fix up his goal kicking and play him half forward. Or
Or he'll play across the wing.
Yeah, can he play on the wing?
Yeah. Probably. He was playing a lot on the wing, I felt, in the last few weeks since he's been back.
Running half back?
Yeah. Trade period for Essendon and, I guess, delistings and stuff like that. I really don't know what's going to happen.
Essendon will probably still go for a forward, I think.
Yeah, well, we need, as we saw, we probably need... Look, we'll get to this in a second. Let's talk about the Saturday night game first before we get too deep into the Essendon shit.
How are you, mate?
Flat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And do you want to reveal to the listeners why you were probably the most flat about this loss? At halftime?
Halftime. Oh, about my strategy?
Yeah. You had a coaching strategy from
I had a coaching. Yep. Yeah. I went into the Coach Kano playbook, which is just the Coach Bombay playbook, but his name scribbled out and Kano put over the top. I decided to change my jumper because Brisbane were getting smashed at halftime. They had a really bad second quarter. And I was wearing my old woolen Brisbane jumper and I have another one that was a little bit older than that. And so I swapped at halftime, thought I could give them the Mighty Ducks Guernsey sort of change, the bump.
Yeah.
Worked for a quarter.
Because we kicked 2 goals to none in the third quarter. And we were a chance still. We were a sniff. Ultimately, it didn't work. And that probably disappoints me more than anything.
Yeah.
I had a crack. I tried and it just didn't work.
yeah, it's disheartening.
You could argue this game was over 5 minutes in when Dan McStay got concussed by a cockatoo's knee.
Without a single touch.
Yeah, like, you guys know where I stand on Dan McStay. I think he's the most important person in that forward line.
Yeah.
And he'd be top five most important players in the team just in terms of the structure and what he brings.
I think because more people realise that now.
He's the best contested mark in the team. I think he's number seven for contested marks of all forwards in the AFL. And he missed the first month of the season too, people forget. He's been so good for us lately. He's so crucial because he gets up the ground. He takes marks on the wing. If he doesn't mark it, he brings it to the ground. He creates a contest, especially when you play against Melbourne who have May and Lever. Like as soon as – so we were neck and neck. I think it was 5-4 or something like that at quarter time. But all of Brisbane's goals had been like Charlie Cameron, like on the run, no marks inside 50.
Yeah.
So that wasn't going to be sustainable against Melbourne because I think I've watched Melbourne a lot this year and a team might get a run on them for a quarter.
Like
but
we
then
did.
Melbourne always lock it down and figure out how to get through it. And that's what they did in the second quarter. They just
and
killed
kick
us.
Eight and goals then we came to out, zero sometimes.
Yeah. Then we came out and broke even pretty much at the second half, but it just wasn't enough. We just didn't have, you know, Matthew Richardson's only contribution to commentary on Saturday night was to continually say that we'd taken like one contested mark in the forward line all night.
Yeah.
The same shit from him.
Yeah, it's...
Lockie Neal was great. He had 46 touches, but the rest of the midfield was shithouse. Like, Zorko didn't really fire a shot for me. Pretty much no one did. I would only say that Charlie Cameron was awesome. He kicked 5 goals.
And Lockie Neal had 46 touches.
Lockie Neal was great. It
That's
was
the
best game
most
of
amount
year.
Of possessions in a final ever.
Yeah. At 13 clearances as well.
Fucking hell.
You know, the trolls on the internet will say, yeah, what did you do with them? What did you do with them? Well, what he did with them is stop it from being a 11-goal loss instead of a 30-point one.
Yeah, this is the thing. People are,
they cleared the ball fucking 13 times, cunt. That's so many.
Right? Yeah. So, like, that's the thing. So he's had 46 touches and 13 clearances against Max Gawn, who was pretty dominant, and a midfield of Petrarca and Oliver and Viney. Like, that's huge. When he's and he's the only one going in, too, because Lyons had a pretty quiet one as well.
Yep. I think he had over 25 contested possessions. So if you think he did nothing, what did he do with it? If he's not in there doing that, that's just balls that Melbourne are running out of the middle with.
Yeah.
So don't... Just,
we saw that during the game, what happens when that happens, and it's a very quick goal to Melbourne.
Big time. Oliver's so good. I think he's probably going to win the Brownlow. Petrarca's awesome. Max Gawn's awesome. Oscar McInerney had a crack, but there's only so much you can do against Max Gawn. And Luke Jackson, they just team up so well. Tom Fulton's not really up to it. I don't know what Brisbane's going to do there. Brisbane, it's this week will be tricky against the Bulldogs.
I think...
The only other player that I think stood up was Kadeen Coleman, who's been fucking awesome on the halfback line.
Yep.
He is fantastic.
He,
speed.
He just looked... There are times like you watch a final and after watching Friday night and seeing so many of established players look overwhelmed, but then a player like Brad Close, who's played like 20-something games, look like he was trying. I got the same vibe on the Brisbane game. There were players like Zorko and other players making mistakes, and there's this 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid who's just hitting every contest as fast as he can and just trying. And that's all you want in a final. That's the thing about the finals is you've just got to have a bit of a crack.
Yes, Harris Andrews. That's the worst game I've probably ever seen him play. I think he's very clearly injured. He got injured in that game against Adelaide, where for a second I died because it looked like he did his knee. And then somehow he played the next week. And then he's had a week off last week. And he's not right.
Not right,
and
he can't run.
He's not switched on either. He had a shocker. He's had 4 or 5 games this year where he's been really off.
Yeah,
and they're the worst 4 or 5 games he's played in 5 years, I reckon.
Yeah.
Because he's generally really quite consistent.
Yeah, there was
so he's
two players
down,
for there were two players for Brisbane that and like, fuck, when we get to Essendon, like I'm not there's a lot of players that just didn't show up this weekend, unfortunately. But yeah, Brisbane had to like even as like a relatively neutral supporter. I say relatively because I wanted Brisbane to win big time.
Yep.
But yeah, like, both Harris Andrews and Joe Danaher were nowhere to be found.
Yep. Yeah. It's the first time Joey hasn't kicked a goal in a game this year.
Yeah.
I think he missed one or two. The other issue for Brisbane is that Darcy Gardner's just, he's not fit either. So, like, yep. He hasn't come back properly from his injury.
Yeah.
Because he came out of the team just before the prelim final against the Cats last year.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, it was nearly like, I don't know if we can win because he's that important to the team. So he's not firing. Andrews isn't firing. Grant Birchall looks like he's got one leg that works.
And it's not his kicking leg.
Yeah. Like, Daniel Rich had a crack. Starcevic had a crack. But, like, Starcevic playing on Cozzy Pickett, like, that's not the matchup for me. Like, Starcevic needs to play on Bailey Fritsch.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell they're doing. Like, they kind of – the selection of the back line is really questionable at the moment. It's a bit of Geelong, no plan B sort of stuff going on with Brisbane. I'm a bit concerned.
Yeah.
And you don't have the injuries in the back line that we've got.
Well, I mean, we have they're
just playing.
They're just playing. Yeah. They're back now, but they're basically injured but playing.
Yeah.
Marcus Adams is having a crack, but yeah, fuck. The Dan McStay ones, that's a killer. Midfield, man. The midfield need a lift. Lucky Neal had a crack. Zorko needs to have the biggest fucking game of his life next week against the Bulldogs.
I much like how with my Port Adelaide praise, I don't want to weigh too much in on how good Melbourne were just because, you know, respect for the dead.
Congrats to Melbourne supporters because fucking hell. The midfield and the back line are so good that it doesn't matter what the forwards are giving at the moment. The forwards just have to kick accurately and they're such a strong chance to win the premiership. The midfield's so fucking good.
Yeah.
Clayton Oliver, and
the back line's extraordinary too, really.
Clayton Oliver talking about how he spent his all off season just working on his kicking. And it's like, you used to be a guy who'd get 34 touches, 30 handballs, 4 kicks, and the kicks would go nowhere. Now he's getting equal handballs to kicks, and the kicks are lethal.
He's strong too.
Oh.
You notice it's so hard to tackle.
Yep.
He's got that. Like, Jared Lyons has that. He just didn't have a good game. But Petrarca is the same. Petrarca, like, broke out of a tackle from Lyons, then he broke through McCluggage, and then he still just finds – they just found a way to surge the ball forward, and Brisbane just didn't really.
Oh, yeah. Melbourne are very exciting to watch, especially when they're not playing against a team that I like.
Yeah.
I will say, and I said I wasn't going to bring this up on the show when this was raised to me, but you know what? It's a pretty funny How Good's Footy story, so I'm going to bring it up. So, Tom, your former roommate Adam and his current roommate Hayden, who came up last week on the show because he is a Melbourne supporter. He's allegedly a lifelong Melbourne supporter, but he decided at the start of this year that this was going to be the year he starts really getting into footy. And I don't know if it was a coincidence or if he's a cunt.
No, he was born this year.
I will also just put it on the record that in the round 23 game, he asked if something else was happening that night. And I said, no, we're watching footy's on tonight, obviously. And he's like, oh, yes, of course. So, Hayden,
classic.
You're on notice, buddy.
Anyway, there has been a grassroots movement by him and Adam. Well, it's his grassroots movement, but Adam, your former housemate, Tom, has gotten behind this, which is trying to get Cozzy Pickett the nickname The Wizard.
There's already a wizard for Melbourne.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. They keep commenting on every Melbourne Instagram post about it, being like, love the wizard. Adam had one that was like, Alakazam, the wizard kicks straight again. Hayden reached out to friend of the show, Broden, who reacted to the Instagram message but gave him no words back, which is, I feel, what it deserved.
Yeah.
Good.
If he was a lifelong Melbourne supporter, and he tried to pitch this to me, and I said, you know, there's already a wizard for Melbourne, which is Jeff Farmer.
Did he know
that? Well, what about Wiz? And I said, there's already the Wiz, and that's Warwick Kappa.
Yeah.
This is a disgrace.
Yeah.
I will update, just before we go to the last game, we'll do another update on Adam. And his football allegiances. He watched a lot of Geelong games when we were living together, obviously, and he, you know, was supportive of my endeavors. He's supportive of Hayden, and I messaged him and I said, mate, I feel like you've swapped allegiances, and he has announced probably the best term I've ever heard. He has described himself as a footy Ronin who serves no master.
So, a TC.
Oh! He can't be Sean's a TC. Sticky. He's never had a team. If you've never pledged an allegiance to a team, can you be a TC?
So he's not a trader. He's just a cunt.
Oh!
There's no TC, just a C.
Oh.
So, Hayden, if you're listening, that's how well this has gone down for you. And if you're a friend of this... If you're listening to How Good's Footy and you follow Melbourne, and any time you see a man called Hayden pop up on an Instagram post being like, love the wizard, maybe comment, fuck you, Hayden. There's already a wizard.
It's true, there is.
For bandwagon supporters.
Yeah, maybe don't even... maybe don't even say fuck you, Hayden. I think it's far funnier if you just comment on any of his posts being like, did you just start barracking for Melbourne this year? Just no other context, just that. Really destroy his self-confidence. Last game of the finals. I was feeling like dog shit leading into this, and I was worried that we would get blown away, because that is what Western Bulldogs typically have done to Essendon in the last 10 years. And my fears were confirmed. Where after a competitive but wet and very sloppy first half, we didn't kick a goal in the second half and Western Bulldogs kicked 8.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, bud.
How Joe Danaher was called in the lead up to the finals, the barometer of how things were going to go, like someone with real finals power who would fire up and maybe get the team on their back. Jake Stringer for Essendon was labelled similarly. He had 9 touches. Darcy Parrish played one of the best first halves of a final I've ever seen. He had 24 touches up until halftime and still finished the game with quite a lot of touches, was significantly less impactful in the back half, but so was the whole Essendon team.
I think unfortunately for Darcy Parrish, another man saw how he was going at halftime and thought, yeah, nah, I'm better, and that was Libba. Yeah. And look, we love Libba here on this show. So
yeah, we do.
It hurts. It's like a Lear. It's like, you know, Max Gorn. We like them. It still hurts.
Yeah.
So I'm so sorry, Joel. I genuinely believed that so this might be the year.
Do you think Parrish needs to get some Simpsons tattoos to go to the next level?
Yeah, probably that is a good call. Whilst in, after like 2 hours after the game, in an attempt to make myself feel better, I spent $130 on player badges.
That is extreme. How many badges is that?
It was like 20 something. It was for me and my housemate.
That is fucking wild by you.
That's big. How many beers did you had at that point too? Because I feel like there's a correlation between badge purchasing and beers.
I was drinking, but I wouldn't say I wasn't Tom's 30th level of drinking.
Okay. You cut out the middleman as well. Tom's your badge man.
Yeah, but Sean, some of the badges I was buying, wild. Tom wouldn't have been able to help me. 2020 Thomas Bell Chambers badges.
Okay, I was going to ask, were they old ones? Is there like a Herdy one from the 90s?
No.
Tim Watson.
There was a 2020 Bell Chambers. There was someone else from, I think I even got like a 2019 badge, but I can't remember what it was. I'm just excited to sort through them all when I get them. And like I said, there was a bunch of duplicates because it wasn't just for me, but still.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it was Hurley one because I was trying to figure out where Hurley was looking best.
Where do you find... The 2019 when he had the beard, right?
Yeah.
How do you find these badges? Like, did you go to like, is there a badge website or did you just go to eBay?
Yeah, there's a badge website. There's like an official AFL partnered badge site.
Dedicated website for AFL badges.
I think they sell other stuff, but badges is their whole big thing. I imagine.
How far back does it go?
2019 was the furthest I saw back, but I think it's like limited. Presumably what has happened is like they have limited numbers of 2019 badge. Actually, yeah, that was the case. Like they had the full roster for 2021 teams. 2020 teams were a little bit lighter and then 2019 was like
we
9
have 3
players. Yeah.
Yeah.
Per team kind of thing.
So no Vossi.
Yeah, that's where I went. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to make my own.
I reckon they should release coach badges.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Like it's
for Father's Day.
Kind of fucked up that like just like an Essendon, like imagine an Essendon Bombers badge, but it's just like truck.
Ah,
what it should be is it should be rather than just like the badge of Ben Rutten's face.
Yeah,
it should just be a truck, just a yellow and black, a red and black truck.
I think I would like it better if it was a picture of Ben Rutten's face, but instead of saying Ben Rutten, it just said truck.
That would be pretty good, actually. Mm. Yeah.
I'm gonna make you one, Joel.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you know really how to make badges, Sean?
I'll figure it out.
Hey, we're in lockdown. We've got nothing else to do.
Yeah, true.
So yeah, badges on this website are $6 a pop, and it was $3 for shipping in total. And I ordered...
What?
Yeah.
Hang on. I'm just gonna do some math. What was the total sum?
Sorry. It was $123, and $3 of that was shipping.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, about 20 badges.
Yeah. I'm going to have a heavy scarf. But Tom, and listeners, anyone who thinks that may be overkill, think about how good it's going to be when I open this giant envelope and all these player badges come out and I just get to sort through them. Like Christmas.
That's pretty good.
And to answer the beer question, somewhere between 5 and 7, I imagine.
That's unders.
Mm. And that's like... So say this took place at like... It was a 3:20 game. I think I had a shower beer beforehand to try and ease the nerves.
Fuck, there's nothing better in the world than a shower beer.
Yeah. So I reckon, yeah, probably 6 or 7 beers, but over the space of like 4 or 5 hours.
I found a website where you can make... Like you can do your own custom one.
Oh, wait, it might be the same website. I actually am now getting flashbacks to, but it says number one fan. I don't like that.
Oh no. Oh no, you do the top message. You're in control of everything.
Oh, thank God. Cause saying,
so that's like a
top message line, first name, last name, your image. That's big.
We should buy our own badges.
Truck's face. Yeah, do we get our like what ourselves on there?
Oh, how good's just, footy?
What footy professor?
Imagine if we got Agate's footy badges. That'd be huge.
Maybe I'll get Coach Carno.
Oh man.
And I'd then probably in just your get photo, make sure that it's like you've got your arms crossed, but one hand visible and you're wearing a glove.
There's the Brisbane template. It's ready to go.
That's juicy. I'd get your top message line, how good's footy, my photo, and then just shut up, Tom.
Yeah. Anyway, Essendon.
Mathematically possible.
Can I just say, imagine rolling into a footy game and you're at your scarf, you got badges on it, and people are like looking at them like, oh, you've got that player. Is that just you?
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You can Essendon, make up for an old player. Sorry, Dusha. Sorry.
Yeah, yep. You could. 6,200 plus days since we last won a final. It's going to be 18 years by the time we get a chance to have another crack. Yeah. I'm scared of trade period, and I'm scared of what we're going to do, because I really like this team. But, I mean, I don't think there's anyone that's, like, wanting to jump ship.
Dersha, I think the future is bright for the Bombers going forward. A bit like the Swans. You got to... Yeah. You kind of surprised everyone. You played finals when maybe you weren't quite supposed to play finals, but you did.
Yeah.
The list is young. Guys like Perkins and Cox and Harry Jones are going to be so much better next year. You've still got Zach Reed, who didn't get on the park. I think
Heppel's making some of the biggest biggest captain speeches of all time.
Heppel might be my new favorite non-Geelong player. Fuck, he's a good bloke.
Yeah. Yeah. Joel, I'll tell you what you've done as well, which is the most crucial.
Yeah.
Is you fixed the culture.
Yeah, so big time.
Remember when Brisbane steadied the culture up and then got the free agency bump? You know, they got the Lachie Neals and those, and Charlie Cameron's wanting to come there. That's probably the next step.
Mm.
Whatever your earliest draft pick is, take that, back to Doro in to pick another good young player.
Yeah.
Like Zach Reed didn't even play this year, did he?
No.
So he'll come in, Nick Cox will go to another level.
Well, even Caldwell played his first game since round 2 this weekend.
And he looks good. He looks good. And then, yeah, whoever the free agent players are, maybe they'll be like, ooh, Essendon's looking pretty juicy.
Yeah.
Full season out of Draper, too, who looked like he was going to eat that final for breakfast.
Yeah, he's great.
Future's bright.
Draper and Libba having a laugh on the field was a very dangerous combination.
you
fucking
what.
Stay away from my boy Libba. Don't lead him astray.
Are you excited for next season? For the first game of the season, no one's seen Draper all off season. He rolls up, he's got a fryer tuck, but still the mullet, and just covered in Simpson tattoos, and he's ready to. And he just comes on wearing sunnies.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Kicks five goals.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot about next season that's exciting, but still, this was a 49-point loss. Didn't feel good.
Yeah. I'm shocked that Libba doesn't have a Simpsons mouth guard. No one's really creative with their mouth guards. It's disappointing.
They might be allowed to.
That's a good point.
No, some of them are. Some of them have like their team colours. Some of them have indigenous mouth colours mouth guards, I think. I've seen in like Thingo, indigenous rounds.
Jesus.
I used to have a lime green one when I played.
Oof. Oh, that's big.
That's big.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, Luke Jackson's going to need a lime green one because he wasn't wearing one and he lost his front tooth.
Well, fun fact, Joel, you know this, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's already, that's a fake tooth. Oh. He just wears a plate. He just can take the plate out.
And it,
tooth. That's why he was happy.
Really give a shit.
It just got knocked out of his mouth.
Yep.
He's got to pay for a new plate. That'll sting him a bit.
Oh, that's like $2,000. What the fuck?
That's right. He probably got a check for winning the Rising Star Award.
Yeah, going to a new tooth. That could have been going on Souvlaki's. That's the worst purchase ever.
Anyway, let's take a look at
semifinals. Let's go.
Semifinals. Actually, just two real quick assistant coach things. One, Essendon's assistant coach, Dan Jordan, has just left. He was the forward coach.
Interesting.
Do you know who we could bring in who's currently been...
Leper.
But do you know who else has been kind of like a fucking free agent forward coach? And
who?
Was Cody Waitman's forward coach.
Lloydie.
Oh, that's big. I think you need to hold. I think the temptation to bring in Lloydie might drag you back a little bit.
He wouldn't do it. He's too invested in the media now.
He's a free agent coach. He just rolls through.
You don't need to pay him. He loves the club. He'll just come in over the summer and just do a bit of work with everybody.
I reckon, you know what you should do? And I don't know if this might just be a waste of time, but I reckon you pair Lloydie and Draper up. Not for an extensive, like, forward training drill, but just to get, like, Draper's goal kicking just kind of sorted a bit so he can almost play, like, a Joe Danaher-y kind of role, except more focused in rock than in the forward. But, you know.
Yeah.
Do you also give him some sledgehammer lessons?
Yeah, big time.
Yep.
Yeah.
And just destroy all goodwill we've earned this year. And another thing is that Frio's assistant coach, Josh Carr, has been slapped with a $25,000 fine and a 4-game suspension for his COVID breach in July.
Oh.
Can't remember what he did, but that's fucking big. Anyway.
Whack.
Josh Carr, more like Josh Can't.
Yeah, coach for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Anyway, semifinals. Friday night, 7:50 p.m., which is a very normal time for a final.
Very normal time, that one.
Yeah. Geelong take on GWS at Optus Stadium.
I think we bounce back.
Geelong.
Yeah. We get Zach Tui back, which is huge. So that's
Geelong.
Good.
Yeah. 5 goals.
Fuck, yeah. I hope so.
I think it'll be kind of like the reverse of your result this weekend, to be honest. I don't think this will be a close game at all. Hmm. I think the GWS just played their final.
Yep.
They make me worried though, boys.
Because they'll bash you, but you just got to try and survive. And in the second half, run away. Yeah.
And then, I'd be far more worried about the prelim if I was you, Tom. Which Yeah, of course you are. Because I know you're always thinking about, like,
that is disgusting, Tom.
And then I'm really scared about the grand final against Brisbane the week after.
Mate, if you want to do some forward thinking, fucking think about round one next year.
When we're defending our premiership against Brisbane, who we beat in the grand final.
That's Tom, rude. Rude Tom, by you.
Tom, have you noticed what the media has started just quietly doing now after you lost on the weekend?
Oh, are they saying that we're shit?
No. They're being like, well, if they don't win the flag this year, they've kind of fucked themselves. So
rebuild. I've heard the word rebuild. Yeah.
They're like, it could be time to start. They're like, they're not, Tom, they're not being like, you fucked it, game over, rebuild time. They're like, it's probably worth looking at, maybe trying to, you know, just plant some seeds for a rebuild because they're going to have to at some point.
Yeah, I don't think we'll go on a massive free agent campaign in the offseason. We'll go to the draft.
I mean, it would be insane.
With what?
Yeah.
All those picks that we don't have that we gave up for Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they've paid off. I'm shaking my head.
Yeah. Trade some stars.
Yeah, get rid of Gary Rowan. Whatever you're paying him, you don't need.
Yeah.
Who's going to take him?
No one.
There you Jail.
Go. yeah, we should win. And I reckon Brisbane are going to get the job done against the Bulldogs at the very normal time slot of what time, boys?
Don't even know. Has that been confirmed?
No, it's TBC at the moment. But
rumoured.
Yeah.
To be 4:45.
Fuck me, the Dogs are sooks. Did you finish in the top four? No. Shut up. Let us play at night like we want.
Yeah.
Dickheads. Bevo, I'll tell you what. I'm going to have to bash him.
Yeah. Coach Kano versus Coach Bevo. That'll be this year's grand final.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah. I think you win.
Yeah, I hope we win. I hope.
Yeah, I think you win.
Yeah. I pray. Brisbane by 4 goals.
Yeah, I think Brisbane are the type of team where you'll be shaken up from last week's not so great loss and, yeah, won't be able to serve up the same. Well, won't serve up the same stuff this week. It's in front of a home crowd, and Western Bulldogs just played in the wet. And even though Essendon didn't really put up a fight after halftime, Essendon really laid into them in the first half. So there's probably a lot of Dogs out there that are quite sore.
I also think that if you get through this, you then roll into the prelim with Dan McStay back.
That's the hope.
And that's and the dream. Huge.
I'd like to see Archie Smith play this week and the Big O to go forward.
Give everyone some Big O's.
That would be I'll be first in line for those.
Yeah. One Big O, please.
One every quarter. Hopefully. I would love a win.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tom.
Dusha.
Tom.
Do we have emails?
We got...
that aren't about any of the games that we lost.
Well, we got heaps and heaps of emails. Some that are about games we lost, Tom. Others are about the fantasy football call-out that Sean put on put out last week. In fact, our inbox is probably the most firing it's ever been. So I've just had to go through and just quickly hand-pick a couple of emails that aren't about fantasy football, also aren't too mean to any of our teams. And just to set the tone very quickly, this is from Paul. And Paul has listened to all of our feedback because the subject line of the email is condolences on the toast, Trinity. And then I opened the email and it was blank.
Oh, Paul.
That's brilliant.
Paul. That's the best email that anyone has ever sent us. Print that out. Put that in the Hall of Fame.
Actually, there's two things that we haven't mentioned yet. That keep happening, and this happens sometimes with Haggard's footy. There's an email about one of them, but something gets announced in between us recording an episode and releasing it, so therefore when the next episode rolls around, it's really old news for us, so we forget to mention it again. But one thing that we shockingly haven't mentioned in the show, and this
who
isn't
cares,
the thing that the email... Sean,
fuck 'em.
This is fuck 'em. Very, very important to me personally.
Alright, fine.
A certain swingman, maybe the ultimate swingman,
of course,
with the conclusion of the Essendon v Western Bulldogs elimination final, has gone to footy heaven. after announcing his retirement 2 weeks ago. So yeah, Cale Hooker has retired. It's broken my heart. Sadly, there was no farewell game for him, but also it wasn't really under bad terms. Our forward line was firing, and unfortunately he just didn't fit into the team for a team that was pushing for finals and then playing a final. I'll miss you every single day of my life, Cale Hooker. I hope that your wines are fruitful, and I hope you sell a million of them. The other big news is that someone got sent to football heaven by their dog shit board. And that was David Teague is no longer the coach of the Carlton Football Club.
I can't believe
Carlton suck.
That Carlton are about to repeat the same mistake they've made four times already in the last 10 years. It's fucked. They sacked Ratten because they thought they were better than what they were supposed to be. They then sacked Malthouse because they thought they were better than they were supposed to be. They then sacked old mate, was a Brendan
Bolton.
Bolton, same reason. Mm-hmm. Teague, same reason. Teague has a better record than both Clarkson and Hardwick at the same time. And the board have fucked themselves again because they've said the benchmark, the pass mark for next year is finals.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. What a disgrace. There are members of that board who have overseen every single one of those coach turnovers.
The whole board should go.
Yes, I agree.
The club too.
This email is from James Big Boy Bigsy.
Oh, I love that.
Dear Lords of Footy, lads, I'm a Blues supporter, and while at times your judgment of Carlton has hurt, it has been justified. However, with the recent shocking treatment and eventual sacking of David Teague, the big nerd who I love, it has come to my attention that the front runner for the Carlton job is none other than a certain creepy garlic breath fuck by the name of Ross Lyon. Boys, I don't want this. I'm scared of what the future may hold if this greasy fucker is allowed to be in charge of my beloved club. I've heard that Vossi is also a chance, as is Mark Williams. Both are better options than a fucker who can't understand when a woman doesn't want to speak to him. Allegedly. Boys, I'm hoping for some words of wisdom or encouragement. Please don't let me down. I'm scared and alone. Also, Tom, I hope these last few weeks have been a wake-up call. The window is shut.
That's rude from Big Boy. Fuck me. Very lippy from a Carlton supporter.
Hurting the arrogance now, champ. Kisses. Yours in footy and hatred, James Big Boy Bigsy.
Oh, I respect the nickname so much, though. He's just alpha dogging me. I just no, look
at Tom. Tom's like, maybe the window is closed.
Big Boy just closed it.
So a couple of things. One, we'll say allegedly because I'm not entirely sure, but I'm pretty sure Ross Lyon paid a $10,000 fine, and that's a big fine for something that's alleged.
Well, put it this way: work cover paid out, and work cover only pay out if there is a reasonable claim. Yep. So. I'm just stating some facts about how I understand how work cover laws work.
Yeah.
So also he was sacked under bad circumstances. He has overseen a club that had one of the worst cultures of its time in those that era. He has also now, Ed Langdon, sweetheart and wingman for the Melbourne Demons, has come out and said it's really nice having a coach who doesn't scream at you all the time. Mm-hmm. In Simon Goodwin. And people are like, nah, that's what Carlton need. No, it's fucking not. That's not what this developing young Carlton list need. Although, look, maybe we can all reap the benefits. Roscoe's in there. He destroys Carlton. You know, it's players end up
maybe
leaving,
it's a
going,
Mick Malthouse situation again.
It's such a sleeper short-sighted agent view. It's so dumb.
It's stupid as hell. How many flags has Ross Lyon won?
Oh, that'd be... he got... none.
Yeah, so he coached the Fremantle side that played one of
how
the...
How many's Vossi won? Three. As captain, even more impressive.
Way huge. More impressive.
Might win another one as an assistant coach.
That's true. I don't want him to go there, though. I have to protect him at all costs.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Ross Lyon is such a shit choice, too. Like,
it doesn't make any sense.
It's the AFL system. We're going to give a job to a man who was, like, a sexual assault harassment incident is hanging over him. And we're going to reward him with a top job.
It's not what Carlton need. It doesn't make any sense. Board, Carlton board, I know you're listening. Don't be fucking idiots. You'd be better off going with someone like...
They were talking to him 2 months ago as well, which is even worse. Sorry, John.
Yeah, which is why... So I don't know if you've seen it, but it's disgusting. Sean, you would hate this because I know how you feel about arrogance. But the week before Teague was sacked, Ross Lyon was being interviewed on fucking Footy Classified or some shit. Yep. And was kind of gloating about the Carlton situation and kind of implying that he has been asked about it. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a disgusting pig man.
Teague's manager was like teed off on him and said it's grubby. He was doing his media work.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a garlic breath grub. So what do you expect?
Garlic breath.
Glad that we've
fuck.
Contributed garlic breath into the
Ross
Lyon. Legacy.
I like Biggsy's greasy fucker as well.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's a real
just like someone
fucker.
Fucking cracked a garlic bread and then just grabbed both halves and just rubbed it on him.
That's what he does.
Yeah. Fuck you, Ross Lyon. Yeah. Hope you don't get this job. And then no one ever mentions your name ever again.
Since Carlton are clearly going down a path of a despicable choice for coach, I wish they'd go the more chaotic option and hire Nathan Buckley.
Well, that's another name that is also floating around.
That is that is a big choice.
Yeah. Just do it. Just for my amusement. Or give the job to someone who's not a cunt.
Yeah, which is would be a bold call.
Yeah.
But yeah, like...
So someone like David... Oh, wait, you sacked him.
Yeah. Well, because the crazy thing is, like, Carlton probably need, like, a fucking truck.
Well, the thing about Carlton is apparently one of the big things Teague said is he just didn't have the support of his assistant coaches. And a lot of them left during the year. Like, Johnny Barker went. Like, there's been a lot of issues... Basically, what I feel like Carlton needed to do is what Richmond did. It's what the Geelong did, where they backed in the coach. They stripped the team out and said, pick a team yourself. Build yourself a coaching panel.
Yeah.
And I just think Carlton needed to stick the fat. Like, yeah, all right, there were some issues that he needed to address, but there were players apparently who reached out to the board and said, do not sack him. And those players are guys like Walsh, Charlie Curno, Mackay, like your young future of your team. Do not want you to sack the coach, and you sack the coach.
Yeah. The people who run Carlton are weak as piss, and I'm sick of thinking about them.
Look, unfortunately for me, our inbox is absolutely chock-a-block full of doggy supporters. Not coming after me, but just a huge, like, deep breath after they have obviously shit their pants for the last 3 weeks, going from flag favourites to... You know, maybe not even making a semi-final. So I will, rather than reading out all of them, because Jesus Christ, I don't think I can handle it. I'll just say Tennille, Shea, everyone else at Barracks or Western Bulldogs that's emailed in. Those are the two I saw at the top. Congratulations on your win. A lot of the players that haven't been showing up for the last couple of weeks did show up. That was exciting. I love Libba. Congratulations. And yeah, I don't condone... obviously, some of the online behavior by some of the Essendon supporters towards certain players of yours. And Tom?
Yes.
If people want to email the show, where can they find us?
Send us emails as to why you should coach Carlton instead of Ross Lyon to howgoodsfooty@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at howgoodsfooty. Footy. Or individually, I'm at Awkward Trade.
I'm at Carney from 55.
And I'm at Douche13. Good luck, boys. I'll let you know how the 450 badges I get in the mail are. I'm pretty excited.
You're going to wear all of them at the same time?
Yeah. It's going to be the heaviest scarf known to mankind. Yeah. I'm going to permanently have a hunched back and broken neck.
Heavy is the neck that wears the scarf.
You have neck muscles like Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Big time. It's going to be huge. All right. Well, yeah. See you next week, and I hope it's a much happier episode.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.